All right, and welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon here on Revolution Radio. And I'm also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino. Sherry Wisdom is not going to be with me the first hour. I do have a guest. I've had this guest on one other time. I was looking for a bio quick, but I don't really have a bio, so I'm going to let my guest explain a little bit of that about him. I've had Aaron Ozy on one other time. He's an author and he started out being an author at a very, very young age. So I'm just going to introduce Aaron Ozy and say welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thanks for having me on, Stephen. I appreciate the invite, and I look forward to speaking to you today.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just going to copy and paste the link in the chat room for everyone.
Sure.
Aaron Ozy at aaronozy.com. It's a very simple simple website there, nothing really flashy. So,
yeah. I just use aaronozy.com. I mean, just to share a lot of the experiences I have in the publishing industry, as well as just publishing new books and different entrepreneurial adventures that I take on for myself. It's not really supposed to be, a very professional website. I mean, it's really just something to broadcast that's going on a daily basis with my fans, my friends, my family. Because everyone always wants to know what's going on in my world, and sometimes it's hard to communicate some of those messages. So that's why I created the website, just to make those regular blog posts, and then I share it on social media as well as other digital outlets to get out there.
Well, when I looked at it, Aaron, it kind of reminded me a little bit of a glorified news feed or a glorified RSS feed.
Yeah, it's got that feel to it. Originally, when I had created the site, I didn't want to spend so much money on, an external hoster or just spend all this crazy amount on, customly developing the site. I wanted to do it on my own, just manage it internally. So I went ahead and just created a blog on blogger.com, which is owned by Google. And I just customized the theme and, just redirected that domain name to that host. And, there you go. The aaronozy.com was born. And I just started exchanging these blog posts and trying to connect people with my sales pages for my books and just trying to be as connected as possible with my fans. I'm not one of those authors that is going to sit behind the door and not communicate with anyone and just write all day. There is an image to maintain, and I want to make sure that I'm as open and unbiased and as freely as possible with everyone that I meet. So,
well, I know it's been close to 2 years ago that I had you on the first time, Aaron. We talked just a few days ago, and I thought you, well, I knew you were young. You're only 20 years old. You have not even old enough to go into a bar and legally drink yet. So.
not yet, but soon.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your background. I don't know.
Just a quick summary of my background. I originally started writing picture books when I was 5 years old. I always thought there was this extreme need for me to express myself in that form. I've always been a very creative individual, just looking at things in a totally different way, trying to be unique about everything that I do. Moving on from the children's book era in my life, I really went into started testing all these different elements of writing. I did a few plays, a few short stories. There was this huge gap in my life, early on that I just dedicated to just writing short stories. And I really thought that was going to lead into more of the novel scene. So I did test my hand at writing a few novels, around like maybe the age 11, 12. I mean, they would never be published today. I mean, the language is so, diluted down, and, it's not even readable really, but, it was a chance for me to experience that type of writing and really just to put myself out there in that direction. Between the ages of, probably about like for nine and 12, I wrote about 30, 35, 40 short stories, all handwritten, about 10, 15 pages each. That's how I would spend my weekends and outside of school, just writing. I just felt like it was freedom to me. And, I felt liberated when I did it. But eventually, leading into until later on in my education towards junior high. Here, I connected with a teacher by the name of Cynthia Oberman, and she was a very big role model to me. She was very intellectual. She actually taught one of my humanities classes in junior high, and she welcomed the fact that I had this knack for writing, and she was so interested in me. And she eventually started inviting me after class to share some of my short stories with her. And she saw such a talent for taking so many different ideas and emotions and feelings and combining them into just a few short words. So she eventually suggested to me, she's like, Aaron, she's like, I know you're so hard set on writing short stories and trying to make such a huge picture out of something so little, but why don't you try writing poetry? And that's a concept I wasn't really familiar with at the time, and it was just something that was very unknown to me personally as a writer. But I said, you know what, Mike, she must be recommending it for a good reason. So I said, okay, I'll try it. So I wrote my first poem, and I believe it or not, I revised that poem at least 20 or 30 times until I felt it was in the right form. And that's actually my poem called Judgment, and it's in my first book, Celestial Inferno: Poems of Another Realm. And that was really just the beginning of the whole poetry scene for me. I've been writing and publishing poetry for the last 5 years of my life. And it's just something that I understand that poetry is not as popular as it used to be many years ago, or decades ago, I should say, but it is something that is very unique, and there is not a lot of market share for it in the writing world. But you know what? I mean, it's I ask myself all the time, what famous poets do we know that are in the 21st century? There are none. And that to me, just looking at it in that way, is just opening up all these doors of opportunity for me. So I wrote my first book, which consisted of 52 poems. It was 109 pages. I published it at 15 years old. And over the next several years, I published another 8 poetry collections. And my books are available in print form, ebook form, audiobook form, and available over in 100 different countries and many prominent retailers such as Walmart, Barnes and Noble, Amazon carry them. I've been covered by many prominent news portals like CBS Money Watch, the Boston Globe, My Suburban Life. There are so many of them, both on a local, statewide, and national scale that I've been covered by. And, really the approach that I take to exchanging all this news about what I'm accomplishing as a self-published author is that, I'm just trying to make a name for myself like anyone else would, and I'm not trying to make loads of money off this or anything. I mean, it's a passion and I love doing it. And, I just feel like there's so much truth in writing that people really don't see at first glance. And I'm so proud of myself to be able to, achieve these things that I do on a regular basis with writing, and not just in writing, but also in publishing. I'm really just molding that part of myself and continuously molding it, just because a writer is never finished learning how to write. There's always going to be something new that I'm going to be exposed to. And, speaking of that, Stephen, I know that I was telling you a few days ago that I just published my first children's book. It's a whole new marketplace that I'm getting involved with. The book is called My Darling Child Shiloh. It's a 44-page book. Perfect. It's molded into a paperback book. It's available as a print book and an ebook. It's still being distributed all over the place. I mean, it's going to take several weeks for it to get everywhere it needs to be, but it's already been on 3 bestseller lists within just 3 days. So, I mean, it's been selling like crazy. Everyone was waiting for it. I released it, or I originally wrote the story, I should say, about 3 years ago when I was still in high school. And I partnered with an illustrator when I just entered college at the College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. And we have been working on it for such a long time, and now we just released it, and it's just going crazy all over the place. It's really making an impact, is what I thought it was going to be. So.
Sure. Well, tell me, Aaron, did you grow up around the Chicago area?
Yeah, you know, I primarily grew up in Lombard, Illinois, for about 10 years. You know, it's a very quaint town in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. You know, I was there living with my mom and her husband at the time. You know, and we moved around, you know, several times. You know, I went into, you know, Lombard, Elmhurst, and now I currently reside in Addison, Illinois, where I've resided for about the last 4 or 5 years here. Pretty much ever since I really started publishing my books, I should say, and really getting myself out there as a writer. So, you know, just going to school in Addison to Addison Trail High School and as well as Indian Trail, Junior High before that. You know, I mean, the community has been very generous to me. Everyone has been very interested in what I'm accomplishing as a writer. And, you know, I feel like Chicago is the place to be if you want to become a very successful writer. I mean, I know that there's big giants like, you know, New York City and California and other major metropolitan areas, you know, that are very known for the artistic value that they have. But I think that there's a lot that Chicago offers, and you know, it's a very good place to make your name in the space. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in the northwest suburbs, very good environment growing up as a kid. You know, and it only nurtured my creative ability into eventually publishing these books later on in life. So.
Well, that's what I was going to try to get into. I grew up maybe just, I don't know, less than 150 miles from you. I'm still in the same hometown that I grew up in. I kind of recognize what the culture in this area can be like. I am in a small town area, very, very small. I mean, the closest decent sized city to me is South Bend, Indiana, and it's I think like 180,000 plus people.
Okay.
So you know, just a small Midwestern type of atmosphere.
Right.
Did you have troubles when you were going through these school age years with other children and the stigma of being a poetry writer? And well, you know, the
Yeah, you know, I that's a really good point. You know, I mean, like, you know, this is how I see it. You know, you can agree with me, Stephen. You know, every extremely creative person always has a dark side and a very somewhat troubled past. You know, I mean, it happens to everybody in general, but you know, those people that are extremely intellectual and very creative always have a hard time connecting with others, especially at such a young age. And you know, I've always felt that you know, not just as an, I don't really feel like as an outsider or felt like an outsider back then, but I felt like I just wanted to focus on my own thing and making friends and making those and developing those relationships with other people was not really a main goal of mine. It was really just to utilize the education that was being given to me by my teachers, as well as just, you know, taking advantage of all the unique resources that were being made available to me in order to progress this future career of mine as an author and an entrepreneur. But, you know, even because originally before I had gone into Indian Trail Junior High, I went to a Catholic school for ever since first grade. From first grade to sixth grade in Lombard, Illinois. It was called St. Pius X School. And it was a very strict environment. All the kids knew each other. There was no diversity whatsoever. I mean, it was just a very big family. I felt like there I learned a lot about responsibility, integrity, courage, you know, a lot of the important values in life and how to really maintain myself as an individual. But at the same time, you know, even with that much community present, I felt like I really never connected with anyone. There was always this huge disconnect, I should say, from, you know, the emotions and, you know, inner feelings that I had about myself and others,
Well,
that really just pushed me apart. But, you know, it wasn't for the bad. I mean, really, I mean, it was, you know, it was always to, you know, better myself as a person and really just to focus on, you know, myself creatively. But I had similar problems going into junior high and high school. You know, I had friends, you know, I connected with others and, you know, I felt like it was very important to maintain those social connections. But at the same time, you know, going back to my original point, you know, I just I always connected with adults better. You know, even growing up, I mean, I always would spend time with my aunts, my uncles, and, you know, even the parents of my friends. You know, I felt like I connected with them so much better than children my own age.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's just. Now,
right. Yeah.
Let's just face it, children are stupid.
Yeah, they can be.
They can be cruel. You know, and, they can be brutal and cruel.
Right. Yeah. You know, and it's just, you know, I get it, you know, that kids are going to be kids and, you know, they're going to do their own thing. But, you know, when you have someone that stands out like I did and, you know, you don't really understand them, you know, I felt like it was not in their position to judge me or to think of me unkindly. But, you know, it got so bad, believe it or not, in high school that I was actually institutionalized for about 10 days. I just felt like I needed to remove myself from society. I was having many suicidal thoughts, just because of all these, friends of mine that, you know, were turning against me and, you know, made it seem like I had done something unspeakably wrong to them. And,
that's kind of what I was going to get into, Aaron. I'm sure there has to be just literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there that don't do either as a hobby or for a living, what their heart wants them to do, what their soul wants them to do because of society.
Right. You know, even in high school, you know, I mean, even after that period where I was institutionalized for a while, you know, I was thrown back into, you know, the school environment. I mean, and this is way before I had published my first book. I mean, I had written dozens of poems before that. But, you know, after I had gone through that experience in this hospital, I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, I saw and experienced things that no kid my age at that time should have ever seen. You know, I mean, it was so, the other people that were there, I mean, I saw how troubled and misfortunate they were. And, you know, I looked at myself and I said to myself, I was like, you know, I may have it bad. And, you know, I may think that, you know, what's going on in my life is just ruining everything that I'm trying to achieve. But at the same time, I mean, look at these other kids. I mean, they're way worse off than I am, you know, and I shouldn't be complaining, you know. So I, you know, stuck it up and, you know, I felt that it was time for me to exit that environment. So I came home, went back into high school, and then I made some serious changes in my life. You know, I got rid of a lot of my friends for the same reason why I had gone into the hospital to begin with. I mean, they were not positive influences on me, and they were making me behave and speak in a way that was not really usual to my overall personality. And, you know, I really just started focusing on writing and publishing. You know, originally before I had published, you know, any book, you know, I was really just trying to focus on myself internally and just trying to improve my ways of life, you know. And eventually, you know, I felt like it was time for me to do something monumental. So that's how I combined those collection of poems that I had and published my first book. And then it really just took off from there for me. So, I mean, in a way, you know, you can view it as writing saved me. You know, I mean, it was my escape route, you know, to a better life. But, you know, at the time in high school, you know, no other kids understood what I was trying to do. They didn't understand what I was trying to achieve. And, you know, that didn't really bother me too much. But, you know, it was just, you know, it was very negative to me to think that, you know, all these other kids, you know, felt like it was weird how I would publish books, or, you know, they're like, you know, did he even really publish anything at all? Or, you know, I mean, there was so much doubt in that scene that really just made me feel isolated. But again, you know, I mean, like all high schools go, I mean, once you graduate, you're not going to see those people again anyhow, you know. And I eventually realized that. Yeah, hopefully. And I haven't really, you know. The only other one that I've seen is my girlfriend, you know, which is my high school sweetheart. I've had her for over 5 years. So, you know, that's, you know, I've been with her ever since. And, you know, she actually fed into a lot of my recovery from that hospital that I had gone into, and really just finding a way to cope with all this negativity around me. And you know, it was really high school. I just look at it as it was just this huge learning experience for me, just going through this period of my life that I just needed to push through, and you know, there was no other way around it. So I just needed to keep my chin high and, you know, just continue to do what I was doing, and eventually it would lead into something better.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Well, you know, I mentioned earlier about people caving under the pressure and not doing the things that they really want to do because of peer pressure. And, well, like I said earlier, let's just face it, children, they don't really want to be, well, I don't just mean children, but a lot of people can't really take teasing or criticism, stuff like that. I think one of the things I've seen that flies around Facebook a lot and a lot of the social medias, I've seen it a few times here in the last few months. It's a little meme that has the character of Doc Holliday in the movie. Well, I don't remember the name of the movie now, but it shows a picture of Doc Holliday and it says, "To really be insulted by you would mean I would value your opinion." And I think if more people come to the realization that criticism and teasing doesn't really mean a lot of insults, or if they wouldn't take it as an insult, they might be doing some of the things that they want to do.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really good point. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that I met growing up, you know, that were just genuinely negative, you know, is how I put it. And, you know, they wanted to ruin and put down everything that was around them. I mean, and, well, you know, if it meant trying to, you know, behave irrationally towards all their friends in order to make themselves feel better, I mean, they did it. I mean, if they wanted to separate themselves and try to, you know, do their own thing just because, you know, they felt like it was going to make them feel superior to others, they would do it. You know, I mean, and that's just kind of, you know, the environment I was thrown into earlier on in high school. But I mean, as the years progressed, I mean, it got better for me. But, you know, like all people going into high school at that time, you know, I mean, it was very stressful to me. And I didn't really know how to cooperate with all this, you know, so-called drama that was going on around me. But that's when, like I told you, about mid sophomore year, you know, I just made that huge change. I separated from all those people and, you know, just took a fresh look at everything that I had going on and said, okay, what can I do now to affirm myself moving out of high school and really make sure that I succeed in the way that I want to? And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. I wish I could have come to the realization many, many years ago when I was in school or whatever, but it just never occurred to me these types of things can actually, you know, make you better.
Right. Yeah, I mean, now I know, I know personally how not to act. You know, I mean, I saw it all, you know, I've been through it all, you know, especially in a high school environment. You know, I mean, there was just so much, you know, negativity and just horrid things that I was exposed to. And I just pushed past it all. You know, I'm still proud of myself that I was able to just kind of block all that out. Really just focus on what mattered. You know, I was getting good grades, I was connecting with my teachers, trying to network to the best of my abilities. And behind all this, I mean, I was handling the development and publication and promotion of all my books, working with retailers, talking to people in Fortune 500 companies, trying to, you know, expand myself, not just as a writer, but as an entrepreneur, you know, just working on so many different projects growing up. And, you know, my parents and everyone else around me never really understood everything that I was doing. But, you know, I knew that was okay, because, you know, I was doing so many different things all at once that, you know, I myself had a hard time of remembering everything that I had to do or everything that was going on. But I think, you know, just continuously doing this until I graduated high school really just prepared me ultimately for the, you know, college life and, you know, just moving forward with myself as an individual.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe let's go into some of your early writings. Explain what sort of a genre or maybe what was going through your head whenever you started putting these things on paper.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, when I originally had started writing, you know, I was doing a lot of not children's book, but like picture books, you know, when I was like about 5 or 6 years old. I mean, I barely remember any of it, but you know, I do remember doing it, and you know, I still have some of those original works. Every now and then I'll look at them and say, you know what? I'm like, this is just like the early beginning of such a career for myself in writing, and it's really just that reminder to show myself how far I've come. But you know, when I was doing these picture books, you know, I always had a passion for writing about like fantasy, or you know, being like the knight in shining armor, you know, fighting off the ghouls and goblins and whatnot. You know, there was a children's book or like a picture book series that I kind of put together called Aro, The Adventures of Aro. And it was about this knight that would fend off all these demons and you know, uglies in the forest and whatnot. And it was really fun doing that. And whenever I would make more, I would always give it to my mom and show her and just say, look, you know, I'm doing something with this ability that I have, you know. And that's just kind of how my whole passion for writing got started. And eventually, somehow, I don't really exactly know how it happened, but I developed this love for short stories. You know, I just felt like instead of taking all this time to write a full-out novel, I could just take, you know, several weeks to go ahead and throw together maybe a 6 to 10 page story, and just communicate so much within that short amount of time. And I was always trying to develop new ways to condense my language and trying to communicate so much more in just so few words. And that's kind of eventually what led me into start writing poetry after that one teacher of mine had suggested it. I mean, I owe so much to her for getting me involved in poetry. I mean, I could have went any direction I wanted to. I could have become a playwright, I could have become a novelist, I could have become an essayist, but you know, I chose poetry. I mean, and believe it or not, poetry is probably one of the hardest forms of writing that you can take on, you know. And you know, there's not a huge marketplace for it today, but you know, I feel like the impact that I'm making in this you know, at least in this century, you know, with my writing, I feel like it will do something. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to be no Stephen King or J.K. Rowling one day. I mean, I hope so. I mean, that would be great. But, you know, I feel like if there's at least one person that will be affected by my writing personally and will make a difference in their life, I feel like I will be considered successful. I feel like I've done my job, you know, because my writing was really not just to, you know, make money and publish books and, you know, network with famous people and whatnot. I mean, that wasn't the goal. I mean, the goal was to share my feelings and my emotions through the written word with others and really just, you know, non-verbally explain to them, what I was as a person, you know, who I am.
Well,
And that's what I was trying to do.
there's always a possibility. I mean, you are only 20, and any number of those things that you just named off a minute ago could still possibly happen. Who knows? You haven't met everybody that you're going to meet in your life, and you haven't
Yeah, no,
written.
I mean, there's so much more that I'm going to be achieving. I mean, I see that already. I mean, I know there's so many more opportunities for me down the road. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, from a broad view, from what I've experienced thus far, I mean, that's kind of how I've looked at it. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure my motives for writing will change. I'm sure, you know, I will go into different areas of writing. I mean, look at, I just published my first children's book, and you know, for so many years people had told me, you know, you write all this poetry and it's so good, but you know, why don't you try getting involved in the children's book marketplace? I mean, there's such a huge opportunity there. And I just kind of pushed everyone off. I said, yeah, you know, I mean, it might be a future goal of mine, who knows? But you know, I was like, you know what, people might be right. You know, I mean, there might be something there that has just this huge opportunity beneath it. And you know, I eventually wrote that story in high school and partnered with this illustrator of mine. Her name is Mallory Clark. You know, her and I had partnered when I first entered college, and we just released it recently, and it's just doing wonders for us. I mean, it really is. So, I mean, sometimes you really just need to step back and listen to other people and take their advice. I mean, when, you know, especially when it's being thrown at you every other day for the last 5 years, you know. So, I mean, it must be something. There must be something there. So.
Well, I can imagine. I can't say for a fact, but you know, the female influence on a man can go a long way, whether it be a teacher or the girls in your school, whether they're behind you or not, is going to be a big deciding point on what a boy will do.
Right. You know, I mean, and, you know, there's been so many women that have been influential to me in my life. I mean, not just, you know, my girlfriend now. I mean, she's done wonders for my career in writing. I mean, I wrote about 4 books up until the time I had met her, and, you know, I kind of stopped for a while, and, you know, she said to me, she's like, you know, your poetry is so beautiful. She's like, why don't you start writing again? I was like, you know, I'm like, there's just so much work involved, and, you know, I don't really see it going anywhere. And she's like, you know, how about you try again? And, you know, if she had never made that recommendation to me, I mean, I probably would have stopped. I mean, I probably would have just sat it down and started focusing on something else. I mean, it would have remained a hobby. I mean, it wouldn't have become a career for me. Even that first teacher that I had, Miss Oberman, back in junior high, I mean, if she would have never suggested poetry to me, I mean, yeah, there's a good possibility that I could have picked it up on my own and tested it out. But, you know, without that recommendation, I mean, my path could have been completely different moving forward. So, I mean, I agree with you, Stephen. I mean, you know, women do have special abilities when it comes to, you know, bringing the best out in men, you know, and I feel very fortunate for the women that I have met over my last couple of years, and really just connecting with them emotionally and, you know, taking their advice and their credibility into account for future decisions that I would make. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had somebody send me a Skype message, but I can't take the call because he doesn't know I'm in my show here. But anyways, I also placed your Facebook profile in the chat room. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. You know, I have my personal page. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, when you type in you know, Aaron Ozy on Facebook, I mean, I have my personal profile, then my Facebook page, but either one works. I mean, you know, if there's anyone interested in anything that I'm doing now or wants to get in contact with me directly, I mean, either page would work. But yeah, you're more than welcome to share anything on there. So,
Abe, I don't know if somebody wants to hit you up. Are you able to take people on Facebook still, or do you have any room?
I handle, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm very personal and upfront with all my fans and people looking to connect with me and ask me questions. So, yeah, I mean, they can contact me through my website, aaronozy.com. They can go on any of my social profiles, like on Facebook or Twitter, send me a tweet, send me a direct message. So I am always open, always looking to answer questions, always looking to help out people in the space. So.
You must have a fan in Peter Gordon Scott. I think it's his name. Yeah. He, I did a very, very quick share on Facebook when we went live and tagged your name there. And I don't know if he's one of my friends or yours, but.
The name's not familiar to me.
Well, I think he must be one of mine. I think he shared it. But anyways. Yeah. I don't know if you explained, I think you said somebody mentioned that you should go after the younger generation for poetry.
I believe it or not, you know, there have been a lot of people that have recommended to me just going into the children's book marketplace and really just trying to make a name for myself there. There's one children's book author that is actually pretty renowned more than ever today than when I first met her. Her name is Christina Cody. I connected with her on Facebook many years ago, and her and I had connected, and I was sharing news about my latest ventures in poetry with her, and I always thought what she was doing with children's book writing was very interesting, and believe it or not, you know, she went ahead and contracted a distant relative of mine named Heather Ozy. It's on my dad's side, like way back. And they had worked together on several children's books. And I always felt like, you know, what they were doing was just so monumental. And, you know, it was a very interesting genre to go into. I mean, you know, whenever you go into bookstores, I mean, there's such a large percentage of their inventories are dedicated to children's books. And, you know, there's just so many children's books children book authors out there. And, you know, I just knew that there was this huge opportunity there for me later on in writing, you know, and I, after just writing so much poetry, I just wanted to take a little break and, you know, see if I could venture off elsewhere. And I so did, you know, with this new children's book that I just released a few weeks ago. But I would say overall, if there's been anyone that has been very supportive of me besides, you know, my girlfriend and other family members and friends of mine, but I would say besides all them, I would say my mom has been very influential on me when it came to publishing my first children's book. I mean, she said for years, she's like, you know, she's like, you need to work on simplifying your language and approach to writing for kids, you know, because I feel like your poetry is so beautiful that you could actually convert that into a children's book and share your work with them in a whole different medium. And believe it or not, this book that I published, My Darling Child Shiloh, the story itself originally started off as a poem. And I just broke it apart among many different pages and paired it with the illustrations that my illustrator, Mallory Kark, had created for me over the last couple of years here. And we just merged it together in one book. And, you know, they complement each other exceedingly well all throughout the piece. But, you know, there, like I said, Stephen, I mean, there's been so many people that have recommended me to go in this space. And, you know, I eventually listened to them. So, and it's doing wonders for me now. And it's really, you know, molding my image as an author in a whole different way.
Well, I think there's going to come a time in everyone's life, whether they're male or female, that they, you know, they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to have to look in the mirror and they're going to have to scrutinize whether they want to conform to society or be happy and do what they want to do.
I agree with you. You know, I mean, there's always going to come that time, you know, when you really just take a look, a broad view at everything that you're doing and see how you can improve upon it. I mean, if there's anything that you need to, you know, cancel out or add on and, you know, just really, you know, take that approach to it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, my career in poetry is over. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, my career in poetry, I mean, has only just begun. You know, I mean, I plan on publishing many more collections in my lifetime, you know, but I just feel like if I'm able to convert that beauty of poetry into any other genre, it might as well be children's books, you know, it might just be, you know, and, you know, because these kids one day are going to grow up and be the readers of my poetry. And, you know, they're going to make that connection to those books they were read as children, and really understand, you know, how the beauty of both mediums of writing can connect to each other and really come together and complement one another. You know, because a poem is has so many possibilities to it, and you know, there's so many different ways that you can read it and use it for your benefit. You know, it doesn't have to just be combined into a collection. I mean, it could be merged into a children's book. I mean, it could be influential for a novel. It could be the basis for an essay. I mean, you know, I feel like poetry is the ultimate and divine key to all other writings.
Well, we do only have about 15 minutes left here, Aaron. I know it's gone pretty quickly here, but do you want to talk about this latest book a little bit? Maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I was saying before, Stephen, you know, the children's book really began about 3 years ago in high school. I had written that poem and, you know, I just kind of sat on it for a while and, you know, just really said, you know, I'm like, this is a good poem. I'm like, I could try to branch off and create another collection of poetry off of this and, you know, really build on it that way. Or I can see what else I could do with it and, you know, possibly use it for a children's book. And, you know, after much thought. You know, I went ahead and, just kind of titled it My Darling Child Shiloh for now. I thought that was just kind of like a placeholder name. And, you know, I thought it was a good starting point for that. And, you know, I didn't really know anyone that, drew very well or painted very well. So I kind of waited on it. And, you know, I connected with, some high school friends over the next, year or two, just towards the end of high school, just trying to see if they would be interested in working with me. And none of them really, jumped on it immediately. They always thought that, it was a huge project and they just felt like they'd be putting so much more work into it than it was actually needed. And, there's always an excuse for not wanting to go into this partnership with me. I mean, they understood everything that I had done with writing and whatnot, but they thought that the children's book move was a very risky venture. But, I've been told that before, and with my seventh book actually, and now it's a bestseller. So I knew that if people are trying to doubt it and trying to push it off to the side, I mean, I know there's something of great value and great worth there. So eventually I just kind of held on to that story, or that poem, I should say, and met Mallory Clark in my first English class at the College of DuPage. And, I met with her outside of class and I said, "You know what, Mike, I really like your style of art, and I feel like you're a very talented individual, and I think it would be in our best interest to work together on this book." And she said, "Yeah, let's do it." So we started working together, and it's taken roughly about 3 years for us to get to this point. I mean, we weren't really working on the book every single day. I mean, it was really just on and off, work. I mean, we would meet every few months, go over a few illustrations and go from there. But, eventually we got up to this point just a few weeks ago where we finished all the illustrations. I went ahead and put it into the form of a book and published it. And I wasn't really sure how it was going to do when I initially released it. But like I told you at the start of the show, Stephen, I mean, it's been on three different bestseller lists. I mean, it's been on my print publisher's website as a bestseller, Lulu Press. It's been on my ebook publisher's website as well as a bestseller, which is Smashwords. And it's also been on Kobo Books as a bestseller under the children and teen categories. Kobo Books is actually part of the Rakuten Company family. They're a huge bookseller and content distributor, on the internet today. But I mean, it's been doing so well, and I feel like it's going to go such a long way, in this direction. And I feel like I'm continuously putting more and more effort into it to make sure that it is successful. I mean, it's probably going to be another few months before everything really just calms down and it's everywhere where it needs to be and it's viewed in the way that I want it to be viewed. But right now I'm just trying to schedule a whole bunch of book signings with local bookstores, trying to reach out to all the local media, trying to just spread the word in any way that I can. I mean, because this is a huge move in my career, a huge shift. I mean, from poetry. I mean, I've been publishing poetry for the last 5 years, and all of a sudden I come up with a children's book. You're like, how does that connect? I mean, there's just like this huge gap, but really there's not. I mean, it's really just another manifestation of my poetry.
Well, I think society has had a big role in, well, like I mentioned earlier about forcing people not to do what they want to do. I think children should be encouraged to do whatever they want to, as long as you're not harming someone else.
Right, yeah, I agree. I mean, you have no idea how many young authors have come to me and said, "I have all this content written. I'd love to publish it and share it with the world, but you know what? I just don't know how," And I'm like, "Well, I was where you were at a couple of years ago, and I felt the same way, but there is something called self-publishing, and going to a big publishing house and trying to promote yourself, make yourself known to them is not the only answer. I mean, there are so many different things you could do to get your work out there on your own and promote it in such a unique way where you have absolute control over how it's distributed and where it is received. You know, I mean, I try to share that knowledge with, you know, students, you know, of writing, as well as, you know, just independently, you know, aspiring authors all the time. You know, I try to make that connection and put that information in front of them so they can use it to their benefit. Well, and I got to tell you, I mean, you know, if they can do whatever they want to do, you know, it's really up to them to aspire for greater. But, you know, everybody needs help eventually at some point, and especially in the field of writing. I mean, you're always going to need someone to have your back.
Certainly. You
know? So.
So many people out there that do write, do publish themselves. I think they have a false illusion. A lot of us are doing this on the internet with the internet broadcasting. So many people have a false illusion that they should be making a good living, or at least a comfortable living at, you know, like writing or doing internet radio. But I didn't really have that sort of an expectation when I started doing this over 3.5 years ago. You know, I would like to be able to make a living, but it might happen, and then again, it might not ever happen. Do you think that possibility of disappointment has ever entered your mind? Or
yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, even from the get-go, you know, I never really thought that I was going to make loads of money or become very famous off of, you know, my writing. You know, there's definitely a desire to achieve greater and to, you know, become as profitable as possible from your ventures in writing. But at the same time, I mean, you have to circle back and revisit what the purpose of writing is all about. I mean, it's about communication. I mean, it's about self-expression. I mean, it's about so many different things, you know, where you try to, you know, share the innermost parts of your soul with other people and really just communicate those messages, you know, in so many different ways. I mean, like I said, you know, there's so much truth behind writing. I mean, it's very pure, and, you know, it's not something that, at least in my mind, I mean, that should always be tied to the idea that, oh, you're going to make a huge sum of money off of publishing a book. I mean, you're in it for the passion. I mean, you're in it for the love of writing, and, you know, by God, I mean, just leave it at that.
I don't even know if it's true or not, but I thought, at least I swore I might have heard something the other day that J.K. Rowling has lost a lot of her money or something like that. Or,
well, you know, the thing about J.K. Rowling is that, you know, yes, she has lost a lot of her net worth, but the reason why she's lost it is because she's been donating it all to charity. You know, and she's done that out of the kindness of her heart because, you know, she's one of the writers that I aspire to be, you know, like in the future. I mean, and always have been. I mean, I remember sending letters to her when I was just a kid, you know, telling her how much I loved her writing. And I thought the world of Harry Potter that she created was just so wonderful. And I enjoyed everything that she was doing and achieving as an author. And, you know, she started off with nothing. And, you know, and being as humble as her is something, is like a state of mind that all authors should have. You know, I mean, don't be in the publishing game to make money. I mean, I know that sounds kind of crazy when I say that, but I mean, you know, we all like to make money. We all like to profit off of our efforts, but, you know, you got to look at it from, you know, a very spiritual, mental point here. I mean, you just got to, you know, value what you're creating. And, you know, if you can affect the lives of others with what you've created, and, you know, it is making somewhat of an impact on the level that you wanted it to be, you know, that is more profit than you will ever get. I mean, off of publishing something or just creating a single piece of writing. So J.K. Rowling is a perfect example of what an author should be.
Yeah, yeah. I've never actually read any of her material, so I don't know, you know.
I mean, she's done a lot more writing other than Harry Potter. I mean, she's got several other one-off novels that she's done. And, you know, her voice and these different topics that she's covered, I mean, is pretty similar, you know. And, you know, that's completely fine. I mean, you don't have to merge yourself into a different type of writer to release a different type of writing. You know, I mean, the, you know, the language that I use in my poetry, you know, that I've released over the last several years compared to the language I've used in the children's book. Yeah, I mean, it's a different degree, but, you know, it still has that same style. I mean, it still has that Ozzy feeling to it, if you understand what I'm saying. So, you know, and that's how authors are able to communicate similar or almost identical messages across many different forms of writing.
Okay. What sort of a realm have you concentrated on? What sort of a genre?
You know, I mean, there's for poetry, I mean, it's very dispersed. I mean, my first book covered heaven, hell, greed, love. I mean, that sort of thing. I mean, it was very inconsistent. But beyond that, you know, I focused on nature-based poems, love, happiness, greed, you know, like the value of money, you know, success, but also, you know, sort of the darker side. I mean, you know, the very obscure and unique part of the human soul, you know, that's left kind of in the shadows. You know, I really focused on that a lot. I mean, I have a very great ability to write dark, you know, and I've always found this enjoyment in, you know, writing very creepy and, you know, kooky stories, or as well as just poems. And people always ask me, like, are you okay mentally? I'm like, yeah, I'm perfectly fine. You know, I'm like, it's just a way for me to express myself in a different manner. And, you know, that's why people, you know, jump now. They're like, man, you know, you've written such beautiful yet horrifying poems, but, you know, now you're writing a children's book and you're releasing that. Like, where's that connection? Like, you know, I'm like, a writer can do many things, and if it means changing you know, from dark poetry to writing bright and positive children's books, I mean, then so be it. I mean, it's just another way for me to communicate the messages I want to share with people and share with my readers, because, you know, you're going to get bored if you read the same stuff all the time. I mean, you just need to be exposed to something else, something new, something that you didn't expect the last time.
Yeah. Well, we do only have about 2 minutes here, Aaron, so...
Thank you again for having me on. I appreciate it, Stephen. You know, I like I said, you know, I wanted to share some information about my new children's books, just to all your listeners right now. I mean, it's being distributed still. I mean, it will be everywhere in about a few weeks. So please look for it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and anywhere you can. I mean, if you have children of your own or know any children in your family, please purchase it, give it to them, and hopefully they'll begin to develop that knack for writing just like I did, and really just view the world in that unique manner.
Well, I did put your website link in there again, aaronozzi.com, in the chat there, and anything you might want to, well, let's just say take about 45 seconds to maybe try to influence a young boy or a girl.
Yeah, you know, if I'm speaking to any aspiring writer right now, you know, I mean, if a boy or a girl, you know, this is the perfect time to, you know, achieve the things that you want to in life. And, you know, if it means writing is your method of success, then, you know, so be it. I mean, just focus on it, put all you have into it, and believe in yourself 100%. Don't let anyone tell you that something's impossible. I mean, everything is possible if you put your mind to it, and, you know, you will achieve wonders. So,
and there's my music, Aaron, and thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. You have a great day.
All right, we'll be right back here in about 7 minutes, everyone.